Hey, Define Yourselfer, join myself, Tony Jacobson, and A.M. Williams live at Power and Disability on Saturday, March 23rd, 2024. I will be presenting at this event, Power and Self-Confidence, where I will share three ways you can immediately start discovering, developing, and growing your self-confidence to create the success you desire and deserve as a person with a disability. For more details about this event, visit thechrismitchell.com/PID324. Do it now. Your future self is waiting to thank you. Hey, Define Yourselfers, it's April, and April is Autistic Awareness Month. And this month, for the first two episodes, this episode and the next episode, our guests are people, individuals, who are members of the autistic community. And our first guest is Caden McEwen. He is a young man in college. We normally don't interview people who are college students. He has a great story. And he is an advocate for autism awareness. The Successful Self-Employed and Disabled Podcast features successful business and nonprofit owners with disabilities sharing their entrepreneurial journeys to empower you to start and grow your own business or nonprofit while discovering a new disabled-owned business or nonprofit to support. I am Chris Mitchell, the founder and CEO, Chief Empowerment Officer at Hashtag Define Yourself. I'm the author of Success Starts with Self-Confidence, and I am a certified confidence coach serving the self-employed disabled community. I am a Caucasian male with short hair and blue eyes. I'm wearing glasses, a vibrant blue baseball cap, and a vibrant blue polo shirt. On both the baseball cap and the polo shirt, appearing in bold white lettering is the hashtag symbol DFIS and the hashtag symbol Define Yourself. In my background, you can see my successful, full of certifications and awards I have earned as a person with multiple disabilities. Please help our podcast grow by taking a moment to subscribe through your podcast player or subscribe to our YouTube channel, hashtag Define Yourself Stream. Our guest today is Caden McEwen. Did I pronounce it right, Caden?
Yes, you did.
All right. Caden is an advocate for autism awareness in America and a current college student at Kent State University. Having been diagnosed with autism when he was 2 years old, Caden has been able to defy all odds and inspire everyone he has come across. Caden is devoted to helping the autism community get the fair and equal treatment they deserve, and inspire people with his story and show them that autism is not a disability, but a different ability. I love that. Caden, welcome to the Successful Self-Employed and Disabled Podcast. Would you mind introducing yourself to our audience of Define Yourself First and give us a visual description of what you look like for our visually impaired viewers?
Sure thing. Thanks for having me on, Chris. I'm Caden McEwen. I have brown hair, brown eyes. So I'm Caucasian, then, of course. And I'm currently wearing a gray coat. And I'm in the lounge area of Kent State University with an orange chair and a brown couch.
Awesome. Well, thank you for joining us today. Now, you mentioned that you were diagnosed with autism at the age of two. So you've grown up with autism. When we did the pre-interview the other day, you were telling me about the circumstances, maybe not the circumstances, but what some believe contributed to your autism. Can you share that story with us?
Sure. So the way I was told it was right after I got the smallpox vaccination that I was diagnosed. It most likely didn't cause it, but it was just coincidental. But pretty much, yeah, I was diagnosed with autism when I was 2 years old. I've been through occupational therapy, physical therapy, ABA therapy, Special needs class is a lot of different resources that were able to help me become who I am today.
Nobody becomes a success all by themselves, and it sounds like you've had a whole bunch of people who are in your corner and supporting you and encouraging you and giving you the resources that you needed to succeed. What were you expected to do as much as you're doing now in your life?
No, I wasn't. Throughout my life, I've had various naysayers who said I wasn't capable of living a normal life, and I was destined into this as a family, you know, to be put in a mental person's home making spaghetti necklaces for the rest of my life.
But yet you graduated. When did you graduate from high school? Not the year. You were telling me a really interesting story the other day, and that you graduated early.
Yeah, I graduated from American High School online in 2022, on Valentine's Day, to be exact.
Oh, wow. So about a year ago, a little over a year ago.
Yeah.
No, 2 years ago, almost.
Yeah, almost
yes.
2 years.
Almost 2 years ago. I forgot. The calendar moved to 2024. I'm still wanting to write 2023 on my checks. It's a habit, a problem I have every year. I don't know. anyone who still writes checks, they probably have that habit. Who uses checks today, right?
Right.
Nobody does. So how has autism challenged you in your life?
Well, it was mainly the social stuff. I couldn't talk until I was 6 years old. And I have difficulty understanding social cues and interacting with people. For example, facial expressions and knowing what people mean. And I'm a very literal person. When I was 11 years old, funny story about that, I was given the trash and my stepmom said, take it with you. And I literally took the trash all the way to school with me and then threw it out there. Turns out she meant just take the trash out.
Then go to school.
Yeah.
But the objective was met. The garbage did get taken out and thrown away, just probably in a different location than they intended it to.
Yeah.
The job got done. That's the important
part.
Now, how does your autism challenge, does your autism cause any challenges for you in college?
Some challenges, like I said, I have difficulty understanding social cues. I have a bad approach with approaching people about things. But overall, other than those two things, I've been thriving in college.
Now, when I went to college many, many years ago, and I'm sure they still have it today, and they may call it something different where you're at, but they have programs called like disability services. Do you utilize them, and how helpful are they?
SAS is what they call McKen, but yeah, I absolutely use them. I get extended time on tests. I get the ability to video record, voice record my notes in class. And I get to go in a quiet room to take a few examinations if I like.
And distraction-free zones.
Yes.
And have overall, have your instructors at the college been very supportive and accommodating for your needs as you are striving to earn a degree with autism?
It's been a challenge, but they've been very supportive, yes.
That's great to hear. So you're not only going, you're going to college, you're in your, is this your second year of college? You're a sophomore, right?
Right.
And what are you studying in college?
I'm studying public relations currently. Originally, I was a technology major.
And what do you like about public relations?
That you get to create these campaigns and help boost the company's image. And you get to work in the music industry, which is what I want to do personally. With technology, you don't get any of that. Man, and technology wasn't really something I was passionate about. It was more so what my family was passionate about. That's why I made the switch to public relations, because music and creation is something I'm passionate about, not necessarily technology.
Now, as you're going through college, do you have a job While you're a student, or you're just more of a full-time student?
I'm trying to get a job right now. I've applied to a few places, but mainly I'd say for now, I'm a full-time student and a full-time advocate.
That's right. Yeah, you are an advocate for persons with autism. How did you get involved in that, and why did you get involved in that?
Well, in late 2022, when I was at Lake Erie College, my leadership class was assigned with the task of making the community a better place. I'm a very ambitious person, so I decided to take it one step further. I wanted to make the world a better place. So, me and my group set up a GoFundMe for Autism Society of America, and we were able to raise $1,085 for that organization in total. And then from there, I made all these connections, and I was able to speak at the Lake County Commissioners meeting, Kent City Council, Durham Workers Commission, Chicago College of Complexes, and I was able to raise $232 for the Lake County Birthday Club. And right before Christmas, I put on a special needs toy drive for the county, and we were able to help four families with people with disabilities have a perfect Christmas.
I always give to those toy collections at the holiday season, because no kid should go without a toy at Christmas, and that's a worthy thing to get involved in. Now, what other advocacy work do you do? I know that you mentioned to me during the pre-interview that you are working on a get out to vote campaign.
Yeah, I'm planning a go out and vote event right now, set for June 21st at Perry Dairy Queen. I was able to get a few speakers for that. Some of them are going to appear virtually, so I got to record the speeches in March. But once we don't have anything finalized yet, but once I get a final lineup of speakers, we'll be able to start promoting that as soon as possible.
What is the most rewarding part being a advocating for autism awareness?
That's a great question, Chris. The most rewarding part, I believe, is that he put this issue into the spotlight and give this issue more attention, because the big wigs in the White House and all that don't take this issue seriously, and I really don't get it. I don't. A couple of weeks ago, my dad called me and said a cousin who's on the lower end of the spectrum than me was going to have his child taken away for personal reasons, and I thought, why isn't there legislation out there to help those with autism have a chance to raise a kid? Why isn't there legislation out there that puts people who abuse autistic children, neglect autistic children, or commit crimes against those with autism, put thrown in jail? Why are we concentrating on the smaller issues and the pettiest issues, such as the book bans and LGBT Q stuff and oppressive, when really we should be helping people and funding the programs that people actually need.
So, what do you hope to accomplish with your advocacy work?
Well, I definitely want there to be more rights for people with autism. I want the governments and these companies to do more than just abide by the laws that are in place in the Disabilities Act, and eventually, once I'm 50 years old, have a bunch of money, and I've had my fun, I want to run for a position in power and implement some of these laws I have and ideas I have for autism rights and special needs rights.
So you have a long, short-term goal and long-term goals. That's great to have. That's a great thing to do for mapping out your success in life. So you sound very well organized in that. So now we know that you have a get out and vote event coming up in June. What are some of the other things you would like to do in your advocacy work?
Well, I definitely want to make the Christmas toy drive in my county an annual thing. And eventually, I want to start up my own organization and team up with as many city officials and governmental officials as possible to come up with new laws and new ways to help those with autism.
So right now you're wanting to more work within your community. Do you ever see this or visualize it possibly expanding nationwide, your advocacy work?
Absolutely. It has expanded nationwide. Just recently, I was able to help save the Mosley Career Readiness Academy, which is a special needs school in Wilmington, from closure. And me and Commissioner Dane Scalise are going to team up on some ways to help those with autism in that city.
So we know that you're going to be doing the get out to vote. Now, why is getting out to vote so important, as an advocate?
As an app, that's a great question, Chris. As an advocate, I say getting out to vote is important because nobody does it anymore. And there's a lot of debates speculating whether or not the election system is corrupt, whether it's rigged, the big wigs are whining in people's ears all the time about how the elections are rigged, certain countries are funding, and blah, 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 blah. And what struck me the most about wanting to put this event together is that young people aren't going out to vote and getting their voices heard. And I really don't get it. Maybe it's the attitude of what I call the TikTok generation. Maybe it's sheer ignorance. I really don't know. But my main motivating factor in putting on this event is simply to appeal to the young people. Get as many young people in my county as possible to go out and vote in this election.
What do you think are some of the barriers for persons with disabilities, in particular autism, to register to vote and to get out to vote?
They're awful. I really don't get why there's any barriers for anyone at all, let alone people autism. If society treated each other with respect and realized that we're all human and united under a common goal, which is to spread love and light and positivity, the world would honestly be a much better place, and we wouldn't have people focusing on petty issues and issues that don't mean anything and are quite frankly quite ridiculous. Just the other day. Just the other week, I read an article about some senator in Oklahoma who wants to make furries illegal in schools in that area. Furries are teenagers, Gen Zers, who dress up and act like animals, in case you're wondering.
So, if somebody wanted to get out and vote, and during one of these rallies that you do you give them tools or resources to point them in the direction of how they can register to vote?
Absolutely. One of the people that's helping me plan this event sent me a PowerPoint that has all the instructions on how to register to vote and the requirements that we're going to present at the event.
So, it does not really take that much to register to vote, right?
It doesn't.
And what does it take? I'm registered. I did that like 20, 30 years ago, so I don't remember what I had to do that. So, what does it take for someone to register to vote?
All it simply takes it is showing your ID, signing the appropriate paperwork. Sometimes they let you register to vote while you get your permit. You have to be registered for the draft, of course. You can't have a criminal record, although I believe that some states are being more lenient on that.
Right.
And you just have to have faith in your country and a passion for certain issues.
Now, if I remember correctly, you mentioned you can't be a criminal, and I think the line in many states is you can't be a felon. Misdemeanors they're kind of more lenient on, but most felons are not allowed to vote. But I know some states, I believe, are trying to change that law with felons. Certain felons may be able to regain the right to vote.
Absolutely, they are.
Now, on election day, or close to it, you usually get a little card in the mail. You get a voter registration card that tells you where your polling place is. Now, I know I'm in the state of Missouri, and I know as a person with a disability, I have multiple disabilities. I can register for absentee ballots, so I can vote by mail from home. Is that something that you would encourage somebody who may be autistic and has social anxiety issues?
Absolutely. That's why the mail-in ballot is there for accommodations. And I really don't get why people criticize those.
And I know many states you have to request one by a certain day. I think most are like 4 to 6 weeks or something like that before it. And that's not too difficult of a process to go through. Do you know much about that process? And can you give us an idea how that works for our audience?
Well, this year is going to be the first year I'm going to go out and vote in the election, so I'll have to research that process exactly.
Okay, that's
But
fair.
to put it simply, you most likely fill out a form. They say, okay, we'll send it to you in X, Y, and Z business days, and then you're good to go.
And I know that many states require you, if you want to register to vote, period. First time registering, you have to do it, I think, 28 days. Some states may be different. 28 days before the next election, at least 28 days.
To register for separate elections or all elections for
All the
combined? Because
elections, if you want to register for your first time voting, you have to do at least 28 days before, I believe, in most states, at least for the first time. After that, registration continues. But when you first register, you have to do it at least 28 days out before the election.
for the presidential election?
That may be so. Each person should check with the local state elections office on that.
Yeah, I absolutely will. This is new information for me.
Yeah, because they got to get your name on the little voting list. So I think that you got to do at least 4 weeks before. If you do it like now, you get plenty of time before the I guess there's a presidential election coming up this year. I have no idea. So it's probably out there somewhere. So how can people get information to become informed so they can make wise decisions when they go to the polls?
Well, the main thing is know who you're voting for. Read as many news articles as you can about your opponent. That's what my parents always tell me not to endorse anybody, but RFK Jr. so far seems to be the most attractive to me just because he's a Kennedy. My parents said, oh, be careful, Caden. You should read up about him. He might be a disgrace to the Kennedy name. And I'm also going to be meeting with one of the independent candidates on the 16th, Jasmine Sherman, to discuss what she plans to do for autism awareness. So if she appeals to me, she might be in my top five too.
So the best advice is research the candidates and the issues, and if you are so inclined, as an opportunity, listen to them speak either on television, social media, or in person, and maybe even get an opportunity to speak with the candidates if you are so passionate enough to ask questions and learn more about where they stand on issues.
Pretty much.
So, how can people connect with you and help you with your advocacy work or learn more about what you do?
They can contact me on Instagram at 73 posts here. There's also going to be a link to my section of the sports column where I write about sports, to autism awareness, and overall doing the right thing. You can comment below that to learn more about what I do. There's various newspapers articles on me in the News Herald role and other platforms. And you can contact me on Facebook at Caden Ronald to learn more, and you can send me a message there.
Awesome. And I believe you sent me some links in the application process. Yes, you did. And I'll be putting those into the show notes and video description for our audience. So our audience can easily go there to the show notes video descriptions to connect up with you. Is there any advice you would have to for a person with a disability, autism or any disability, who would like to become an advocate to make the world better for themselves and for their own just for the disabled community?
Absolutely. Just know that you have potential and don't listen to what anyone has to say. Say, if they doubt you, that's on them. They are missing out on an amazing person who has a lot of potential.
And is there anything else you'd like to add to the interview today?
Keep being positive, and let's make the world a better place.
That's a great message to end on. Caden, thank you very much for being a guest today on the Successful Self-Employed and Disabled podcast. I wish you all the best of luck for what you're doing, and wish you all the success in the world. And when you reach that amount of success, then I would like you to have a little bit more success. Thank you for being a guest today.
Thanks for having me on, Chris.
The opinions and beliefs shared by the guests of Successful Self-Employed and Disabled are their own and are not necessarily the opinions or beliefs of hashtag Define Yourself and or members of Team DFYS. Now it's your turn. Share your thoughts, opinions, comments, and suggestions for the Successful Self-Employed and Disabled podcast in a brief anonymous online survey. The link is in the show notes and video description. This is Chris Mitchell, your guide to self-confidence, reminding you that you can become a successful self-employed person with a disability. And that journey begins at defineyourself.us.